For our Bible study today, I'm going to read to you the first four verses of chapter 4 of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. You will notice the opening word of this chapter is that word, therefore. Now, it is a connecting word and hinges on the truths just stated in chapter 3. These truths form the solid basis for the exhortations in chapter 4 and emphasizes the all-sufficiency of the power of God to meet every emergency. There is no doubt about it that in the lives of Christians there arise emergency situations. In plain words, things come upon you that you never anticipated. And when that emergency arises, we must, at that time, turn to God for help. Of course, in principle, we should turn to God for help every day, and we should come to Him at all times. But we must admit there are special times. And the Word of God teaches us in the Epistle to the Hebrews that there is a throne of grace, and we are exhorted to come boldly to the throne of grace, there to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the reason we can come boldly and find such grace and timely help is because we have a great high priest who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, having been tempted in all points such as we are, but sin apart. So therefore we know and learn something of the all-sufficiency of the power of God to meet every emergency in the life of the Christian. Now then, when we come to verse 1 of this chapter, there is an exhortation which seems to set before us what I like to call a prescription for spiritual health. In chapter 2, there is a plea for spiritual harmony. In verse 3, there is a proposal for supporting the helpers. And in verse 4, a plan for spiritual happiness. Now think of the first one, a prescription for spiritual health. Now, the question of physical health appears to be a very important matter these days. We have health food stores, and we have those who specialize in seeking to give advice how to keep your body healthy. But have you ever taken time to consider the need for spiritual health? There are some people who may be exercised about their physical health, but give no attention whatsoever to the fact of their spiritual health. But may I suggest that to the Christian, spiritual health should be just as important, in fact, more important than the physical health. We need to be healthy spiritually. Now, may I suggest then that here is the prescription with its ingredients for spiritual health. First of all, the title of the prescription could be Stand Fast. That's what he says in verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So this is the prescription, stand fast in the Lord. But he mentions these words. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved. And again, he concludes the verse, my dearly beloved. That is, we should recognize the family position, brethren, beloved. If we are to be spiritually healthy, then we should recognize this first ingredient, a family position. I ask you, my friend, first of all, do you recognize yourself as a member of the spiritual family? I know that physically you recognize yourself as a member of some family. You think of your father and your mother, and perhaps you had brothers or sisters, other members of the family, and there was the home wherein you lived. You recognized the family position. But what about the spiritual thing? Do you recognize the spiritual family? And do you recognize your position in that family? Oh, may I remind you again, as I have done on previous occasions, there are so many people who attend services and they recite that prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. But I wonder, my friend, do you ever take time to sit down quietly and consider what is involved in such an expression, Our Father? It's not saying my Father, it's saying Our Father. And if he is our Father, then there is the family connection. But then he is a spiritual Father, and that is, we have been begotten from above. We've been born again into his family. And if a person has never been born of the Holy Spirit, has never been born from above, then that person is not in the spiritual family. Or a person may be religious and may be a member of some denominational group, but that does not constitute you a member of God's family. First of all, then, if we're going to stand fast in the Lord, we've got to recognize all the others who are in the Lord. And we recognize that we ourselves are only members of that spiritual family. But do we desire the fellowship of the family? Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for. Paul was longing to be with them again. Paul was missing the fellowship of these Christians. He had been separated from them through no fault of his own. He was unable to meet with them. He was away in Rome while they were in Philippi. But they were longed for. They were his dearly beloved ones. Friend, do you desire the fellowship of the other members of the spiritual family? In plain words, do you meet with others? You know, there are times when people arrange family gatherings. It may be at times of birthdays, or it may be in special holiday times, and families get together for family gatherings. But what about those who are in the spiritual family? There's a warning given in the Word of God, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You see, the thought is this. At that time, there were people who already were forsaking the assembling of the Christians. That is, when the church was coming together, they weren't present. They were absent. For some reason or another, they were forsaking the assembling of themselves together. They're warned against that and told not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. There's a need for the members of the spiritual family to gather together. In the early days of Christianity, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. I ask you, my friend, if you profess to be a believer, and you profess to be a member of the spiritual family, and you claim God as your Father, having been born again, and you say, Our Father which art in heaven, do you desire the fellowship of other members of the family, and do you meet together on a common ground with them for the teaching of the Word of God, and for fellowship, and for the breaking of bread, and for the prayers? That was how they acted in the early days of Christianity. I suggest it should be the same now. Then there's another thing in this prescription for spiritual health, endeavoring to bring joy to others at the present time. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown. They were going to bring joy to him. He says they were his joy and his crown. I wonder, are we so self-centered that we want everything for ourselves? We want everything to be so geared that it satisfies our whims and fancies. Or do we look around with a large heart and look around for others to see if we can try to bring some joy to others? There are other people who need your fellowship. Other people who need to be encouraged, so perhaps you will be able to bring that joy and encouragement to others at the present time. And then he also says, my joy and crown. Anticipate the victory crown in the future, looking to the future when the crowning day shall come. And not only will the Lord be crowned with many diadems, but there are crowns to be given to different believers. Now this provides a refreshing tonic to give stability to every believer. Again, I remind you, I believe verse 1 is a good prescription for spiritual health. Stand fast in the Lord. Recognize the family position. Desire the fellowship of the other members of the family. Endeavor to bring joy to others at this present time and anticipate the future crown in a coming day. Now, verse 2 is a plea for spiritual harmony. You'll notice in this verse, he introduces the names of two of the ladies who were members of the church at Philippi. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. It's a plea for spiritual harmony. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Now you see, it's possible for people to be Christians and to have different ideas and different opinions regards a number of things. But when it comes to the things of the Lord and the things in the Lord, he says, be of the same mind in the Lord. Failing to strike the key of harmony, they have created a discord. Now, right from the very beginning of this epistle, I have emphasized that the Apostle Paul very gently, very graciously, but very firmly, has been pressing all the time the need for the people at Philippi to be in harmony, to be united. He has done this by illustration with himself and Timothy. He has done it by showing the examples of the Lord himself. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 'Twas the mind of humility. And now he says, be of the same mind in the Lord. Now things which are equal to the same thing are equal to one another. Now if these two ladies in the church at Philippi were falling out with one another, Here was the answer to the problem. Here was the solution to it. Be of the same mind in the Lord. You see, somehow or another, there was a slight discord that had been creeping into the church at Philippi. And because that two of the prominent ladies, perhaps, were of different minds regarding certain matters, the family relationship is disrupted. The fellowship of its members is destroyed, and the fragrance of its joy is defiled. It's a sad business when a family relationship is disrupted. When two members of a family fall out about some matter, and the parents divide in their opinions, and the father takes sides with one member of the family, and perhaps the mother takes sides with the other member of the family. You have that back in the Old Testament, you know, with Isaac and Rebekah. They had two boys, and Rebekah had her favorite son, who was Jacob. And Isaac had his favorite son, who was Esau. And you know, it disrupted that family. The family divided and was never again reunited. So it's a very necessary thing to have harmony in the family. And if it's necessary to have a family relationship where there is harmony, it's just as necessary for the spiritual family to work in harmony. That is, if we look upon the local church as a family, then there should be harmony amongst the members. Those who are in fellowship in the local church should recognize that there is a need for spiritual harmony, and the family relationship should be kept intact. The fellowship of its members is destroyed. Wherever you have a church that is divided, and so many want one thing, and so many want another thing, and they call a meeting, and then they have a vote, and the majority rule, you'll generally find they go the wrong way. What they should do is this: if they call a meeting, someone should have the courage to stand up and say, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is what the Bible teaches." And when they set forth what the Bible teaches, then every one of them should bow in humility and continue in harmony and accept what is taught in the Word of God. See, to the law and the prophets, that's the standard. That's the level. That's the straight line. We go back to the Bible, and whatever the Bible says, that is what we should accept. Now, they're not doing that today. What you find today is that somebody comes along and says, "But that's old-fashioned. We have entered a new culture, and this is what we're doing now, and this is being done all over the world, so why shouldn't we do it here in our church?" No, my friend. If those who are at variance will bring their thoughts into harmony with the mind of Christ Jesus, then spiritual harmony will be restored. When the Lord is in control, there will be perfect harmony with the members. A plea for spiritual harmony. Two people, just two, can break the harmony of any local church and divide that church in its fellowship. Verse 3, a proposal for supporting the helpers. It says, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life." There is a proposal here for supporting then the helpers. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Now we're living in days when there is great controversy about the place of women. Now let me remind you, the Bible makes it perfectly clear. There's a place for them, and there's a place where they're to keep silent. Now, if women start taking the wrong place, it will cause trouble. But if women keep in the right place, they can be a great help. Help those women which labored. How did they labor? You only need to go back to Acts chapter 16, and you'll find there how they labored. They prayed down by the riverside. And when their hearts were opened, and they received the Lord Jesus Christ, they opened their homes and showed hospitality to the other Christians and to the preachers. They labored with them. Now, very few people today want to labor. Most of them want to take the position of rule. But he said, these labored with me, and he mentions others. Now, the problem should be faced as an obligation. There are people who do certain work for which they should be recompensed. There must be a concern of heart for the testimony of the church. It will require much courage to face the problem and the offenders. It will call for a very careful handling of the difficulty. You must admit it is a difficulty. But if there are spiritual men in leadership, then those spiritual men will be able to give spiritual guidance to the church. Here's reasons why you should help them. Help them, for they labored with me in the gospel. I wonder how many people today are laboring in the gospel, helping to bring their neighbors in under the sound of the word, bearing a little testimony to those they come in contact with. Help them, for they were fellow workers with others. You see, they could work in harmony with others. They ought to be helped. Then he says, help them, for their names are in the book of life. They were not imposters. They were genuine. They were helpers. They were laborers. Now, verse 4 gives us a plan for spiritual happiness. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Oh, what a plan for spiritual happiness. Rejoice in the Lord. We have been taking note as we have gone through this epistle to the Philippians that it is an epistle of joy. I emphasize again that the Apostle Paul was lying in the prison at Rome. He couldn't be very joyful because of his circumstances, but he was joyful in spite of them, because his joy was not in circumstances, his joy was in the Lord. So he says, rejoice in the Lord always, no matter what the circumstances may be. You see, acknowledge the Lord. He is supreme. He is above all circumstances. And no matter what the circumstances may be, they cannot push aside the plan of the Lord. Christ is supreme. God has exalted him to his own right hand. He himself said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Christ is supreme. He's head of all things to the church. So we acknowledge the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You know, a lot of people just talk about him as Jesus and the Savior, and that's good. But why don't they bow the knee and acknowledge him as Lord? We sing about it, crown him Lord of all. But can we take the words of the other hymn and make them very personal? King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Acknowledge the Lord. He is supreme above all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord is a position of strength and security. If you're in the Lord, there's your strength is in the Lord. Your security is in the Lord. He said, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they'll never perish. None shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father is greater than all, and none shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. If God the Father has placed us in his Son, it's the place of strength. It's the place of security. But he says, rejoice always. Here is a confident faith in the Lord's ultimate triumph. There at times you'd almost think the battle was lost. But oh, my friend, remember, Christ shall triumph. The final triumph shall be when the last enemy is put down and Christ will reign supreme. Here then is a prescription for spiritual health. Stand fast in the Lord. A plea for spiritual harmony. Be of the same mind in the Lord. A proposal for supporting helpers. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. a plan for spiritual happiness. Rejoice in the Lord always.